to the second hour of It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. It's time for this week's in-depth interview with a special guest from the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, I wanted to let you know that this is a two-hour show where we balance the creative with the intellectual and we explore whether we have more in common than divides us. And we do this by featuring thought-provoking conversations out and about with people on the street in the first hour of the show. And in this, the second hour, inspiring conversations with special guests from the arts. And if you want more information about the show, just to remind you, you can go to the website. It's a question of balance.com. There's podcasts there of all previous shows, all our topics and very interesting guests. So again, that's It's a Question of Balance.com. Well, this week is my special guest from the arts. I'm pleased to be interviewing founder and executive director of the Bahamas International Film Festival, Leslie Vanderpool. The Bahamas International Film Festival, or BIFF, is a non-profit organization dedicated to providing the local Bahamian community and international visitors with a diverse presentation of films from around the world. In addition to offering films that might not otherwise be released theatrically in the Bahamas, BIFF provides a unique cultural experience and set of educational programs and forums for exploring the past, present, and future of cinema. Leslie launched the film festival in 2004 as a non-profit organization dedicated to creating a cine-literate arts community, bridging cultures, gaining knowledge, and attracting a targeted tourism sector through the film industry. The festival has showcased more than 800 films from countries around the world and has attracted such luminaries as Johnny Depp, Nicolas Cage, Lawrence Fishburne, Daryl Hannah, Sir Sean Connery, Deborah Messing, Sidney Poitier, Danny Glover, and many more. Leslie received a bachelor's degree in international relations before going on to pursue her passion for theatre and filmmaking. She studied at the Lee Strasberg Acting Institute and studied Shakespeare at Balliol College, Oxford University in England, where Alan Rickman, Fiona Shaw and many more honed her skills. In addition to spending over a decade planning and developing film festivals, Leslie has been innovative in taking filmmaking into schools, where she has taught all aspects of filmmaking. She has also created unique cultural experiences, such as summer films in the square and theatre in the park. Leslie is an entrepreneur with a strong background in marketing, branding, film production and sponsorship. She spends her time between California and the Bahamas advancing the film industry while partnering with startups and established film production companies. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Thank you. It's quite overwhelming listening to all of that.
Well, you've been busy there, haven't you, it seems?
Yes, I guess so.
Your whole career is about bringing art to the people. I'm wondering if you can remember the first time that art of any kind had a deep effect on you, when you realized perhaps that art had a power beyond just entertainment.
I think it started when I was in front of an audience, whether it was at a school play or I rode horses and I swam a lot. So competing, I guess being in front of an audience just really made me push myself a little bit beyond the norm. And I realized that, you know, in being involved in creating anything, I just wanted to, I guess, entertain myself as well as others.
Mm. Yes, yeah. I mean, there's a sort of a kind of deep connection, I think, that comes from entertaining, isn't it? You
yes.
create a link with the people, you know, a sort of dialogue.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, it's something that is always happy and exciting. And so I think I'm drawn to just the entertainment side of the pure happiness or passion.
Did you grow up in a creative environment, would you say, or did you have to find out about art for yourself?
My father is a dentist, and my mother is a jack of all trades. But I think my parents really allowed me to be really active. I went to a performing arts high school in New Jersey, Purnell School, which is a small private school for girls. And I realized before that that my strength was in the arts. And when I recall my mother chauffeuring me around to just different activities and different events my art background, in terms of taking art drawing classes or acting classes, they nurtured that. They really nurtured that. And I don't know exactly, you know, where it came from them, but I think they just wanted the best for me really early on. And I was around a lot of actors as a child, because my father was and still is very good friends with Sidney Poitier, and always hearing about his life. And then I had a cousin who was in the industry and wanting to emulate him, and I think it was just always around me and my thoughts as to what I would do as a profession or a career or a hobby. So yes, I think growing up in a very colorful island and then being able to be exposed to a lot of people who do move to the Bahamas, who are actors or performers, it was really instilled at an early age. Now that we're speaking, I remember I wasn't allowed to go to this kind of evening club, but I went anyway with one of my best friends, and it was called Ronnie Rebel Room. And Chicky Horn was this transvestite who would perform. And I came home later that evening, and my best friend and I decided to imitate Chicky Horn. And then we would perform in front of whoever was in the living room during the we had an audience. And that's when I knew I wanted to perform. So at a young age, it was really, I was given the opportunity to do whatever I wanted to do. As long as I did it well.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. You studied at the Lee Strasberg Acting Institute and studied Shakespeare at Balliol College, Oxford, with Alan Rickman, Fiona Shaw, and more. That must have been a wonderful experience.
That was a summer program, and it was amazing. And I think just to be around the industry in a very, a very intense intense moment. It shaped my career, and unfortunately it happened at the end of my career when I actually stopped acting and went into the film festival world, because it was right after 9/11. No, right before 9/11. And what I learned, I remember when I came back, I learned so much. And then I was cast in a play in New York the day after 9/11. I came home to learn my lines and for a month, and then I went back to perform, and it was a very successful play called The Trial of One Short-Sighted Black Woman, and we toured it around New York and New Jersey, and I think it was up for 3 months, and then we had, I guess the producers ran out of money, and that's when I realized something was pushing me back home to concentrate on. And it was either to make films or do theater, and it turned into creating the film festival.
Yeah, what motivated you to move from the performance side of the arts into the more sort of entrepreneurial side?
I wanted to give back to my country. I wanted to think about what my personal life, acting just pounding the pavement was so much. And I, at the time, I really wanted to start a family and, you know, get married. And you know, I didn't think that I could have been doing all of that I wanted personally and continuing on the path that I was with living that life as an actor.
Yeah, that's a very difficult life, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's wonderful for the 0.5% who get to, you know, do it in a full-time, wonderful way, but for most people...
There were times when I had $0 and I would, you know, it's always nice to have a family to fall back on, but then you don't feel that you are really being responsible. And, you know, I just had to, for that moment, I had to shift careers and or to move in another direction.
Yeah.
And then 9/11 happening, it put things into perspective. And I think it was not good that I stepped back for a bit and then try. I went to many film festivals around the world, and I remember sitting down with Catherine Wilder, the daughter of William Wilder, and Albert Johnson when we were in Cannes, and both of us, well, the three of us were talking about starting a film festival. She was going to be starting the Overlook Festival for her father's films, and Albert was wanting to come back to the Bahamas, not come back to the Bahamas, but you know, start a film festival in the Bahamas with me. And he unfortunately passed away, but. I think the seed was planted there when we were talking about starting festivals in 1998. Oh, and wow. And then it took a few years for me to realize that, you know, I could be doing something here. And I still wonder why I'm doing it, but, you know, it's really rewarding. It's rewarding when you see amazing filmmakers coming out of a festival. When you're encouraging Bahamian filmmakers to be seen internationally, when you're inviting all of the amazing industry professionals to the Bahamas and having them see the backdrop where they can actually make film, and to provide people who make the Bahamas their home, thinking of the celebrities that we have here buying islands or living in communities around us, you know, how they can... you know, establish themselves in an art form where they can give back.
Yeah.
So that's I think a lot of reasons why I kind of consider myself a vessel, in what I'm doing, and I try to really live in a way where I'm letting myself be utilized to do good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you just joined us, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest from the arts this week, founder and executive director of the Bahamas International Film Festival, Leslie Vanderpool. We're going to go to a break now, but we'll be back after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Well, we can do the things we want. We can do the things we want. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest from the arts this week, Leslie Vanderpool, who is the founder and executive director of the Bahamas International Film Festival. And if you want to find out more information about the film festival, if you just go online and search Bahamas International Film Festival, it will come up. Or you can also go to the website, which is BINTL, sort of Bahamas International in abbreviation, BINTL, filmfest.com. So, Leslie, you founded and run this amazing festival, the Bahamas International Film Festival. It seems like such an enormous endeavor, and the average person wouldn't perhaps associate the Bahamas with film. You touched on a little bit why you were inspired to create a film festival there to sort of give back to your country, but I'm just wondering how it is. It seems like it must be pretty difficult to start something, you know, in an area which isn't like known for film or wasn't when you started out.
Actually, the first film ever made in the Bahamas was 1954 with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Huh. And yeah, so we have a really strong connection with filmmaking in the Bahamas.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then, you know, with Flipper and then Splash, the Bond films, Cocoon, Jaws, which else? After the Sunset, Into the Blue, the Casino Royale.
Film.
So it's a lot. There's a lot of wonderful films that do use the backdrop. Or come to the Bahamas to make film. So it was a natural fit. And then a lot of my friends all over the world, they knew how, you know, I really think I'm a networker, and how they knew I knew this producer, that writer, this finance person. And I thought doing a film festival would be the perfect place for everyone just to come together. And instead of me connecting each other, each of them, they would have a venue to do it on their own.
Right.
And it also is to provide the Ministry of Tourism with a way to, or the Bahamas itself, to diversify their economy by increasing filmmaking in the Bahamas, you know, with Pirates of the Caribbean. So there's so many objectives as to the purpose of the Bahamas International Film Festival.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it also seems like, I mean, when films come there to be made, you know, that's a wonderful thing, and it's good for the economy and everything. But it seems like with the film festival that there's more of a holistic thing which is involving the people more from the inside out, because it also enables Bahamian people to take part.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. And Ruth, it's been amazing because we are involving the community. We want the festival to feel like it's theirs. And we don't try and take an elitist approach at all. even though we're inviting Hollywood to the Bahamas, you know, still a lot of people are learning how to become cine literate here. They're learning how, the Bahamians are learning how they can be a part of the industry without leaving the country. I can name a few Bahamian filmmakers who are household names because of the film festival. But like you said, it's very important to have these educational components where you're going into the schools and teaching the children how to make a film in a day, or you're telling them, you know, just how tangible it is. You know, you can write a screenplay, you know, within a day to 3 weeks. You can pick up a phone and make films. It's so available now. Mm. And you know, you learn by doing it. And we don't want to just produce doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs here. We want to make sure that the, you know, the art community in the Bahamas is vibrant, which you would think would be. However, we really need a little bit more support from the private sector, the government, accepting that there are, you know, wonderful talents here that can go on to make us proud, like the Sydney Poitiers or, you know, the Calvin Lockharts or, you know,
yes,
people who come from the Bahamas to move on to the U.S. to make a name for themselves, or to even be exposed to how they can elevate their career.
Yes, yeah. You talked there about learning by doing. I mean, creating a film festival, there's just so many different aspects to it. I mean, you've got all the films, you know, you've got all the organizing, just the venues and things like that. You've got choosing the films. I mean, there's just myriad things. I'm wondering, you know, did you have any dry runs? Did you organize any other festivals prior to that? Or were you literally just learning by doing, you know, Biff?
I actually, my background, I feel, is very diverse. Because as an actress, you know, I had to take on many roles in terms of jobs to supplement my income. So I did work for a special events company in Miami, actually the Nat Moore Foundation. Nat Moore used to be an ex-football player for Miami Dolphins, and I used to plan his, you know, celebrity golf tournaments and NFL kickoff parties and things like that. So, and I've just always been creative in trying to find unique experiences with maybe doing plays in the park, you know, teaching acting classes when I'm in the Bahamas, and then and having those actors perform around the Bahamian community, and then, you know, obviously, I needed to have consultants come down the first year to help me put it on the right way, and they were wonderful, and I still every day I'm learning. Even though the festival is 12 years, every year is a new year with new films, new faces, new filmmakers, new ideas, new venues, new sponsors. So it's, you always have to be quick on your feet all the time and just be flexible and knowing that, you know, if Spike Lee can attend your festival because of a snowstorm, like what else would you do?
Right.
Or,
yeah,
you know, or if when Johnny Depp comes to the festival and you have like 1,000 people in an open space, and, you know, how do you control that?
And right. Stop them mobbing him or something. Yeah.
Yes. And so every moment, every facet is so unique, and, I think my background has led me to really be flexible, and also not living in Hollywood has also allowed me to grow as an individual in doing it in a genuine way. Not to say that, you know, there's people that are who aren't genuine, and where you have majority of Hollywood living, but I think that I'm able to produce a unique angle to the film industry, where it doesn't have to be the same all the time. Right now the festival is traveling to 3 islands in 12 days. That's very unique.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. You know, in terms of venues, you know, when one goes to a film festival, you know, you have the schedule and you plan out where you're going to go at what time. I mean, how does that work if they're on different islands? Do people have like passes to go on little boats, or how does that work? Yeah.
Yes, we provide them with access to go on ferries, to take, you know, planes to each island. The Bahamas has 700 islands.
Oh my goodness!
And when you have the festival called the Bahamas International Festival, you want to make sure that the Bahamas is exposed to the festival. And so my dream one day is to have the festival touch on every island that's inhabited. So, you know, there's 30 islands that are inhabited, and other people own keys and all of this. But, you know, I would love for the festival to take films to each island to showcase stories and to hopefully inspire people to become, you know, filmmakers or writers, or give them some kind of inspiration. So we make sure that we are taking the festival to the people.
Right.
And Eleuthera is, and Harbor Island and Nassau are, you know, that's just a few islands that we're touching on.
Mm. And it begins on December the 1st, is that right?
December 1st.
And anyone, yes, anyone can go? I mean, you know.
Yes.
And do you have...
Anyone can go. The tickets are $4 for regular screenings and $25 for opening and closing night screenings. We have parties. We have, you know, screenings on the beach. We have panel discussions, master class on music and film. You know, one great... I guess part of the festival, you can rub shoulders with people who it would be a difficult time to meet,
right?
You know, because of their schedule. But this festival is a really intimate place to just network and become, have these lasting relationships, and the buying and selling takes place in those networking.
So it's great if you're a young filmmaker, yes, or whatever. It's a great venue to come to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also as an audience member, it's really great to come down in the middle of the winter to the islands and and put your feet in the sand and watch a beautiful film, you know. So
that is unique.
It is unique.
Yeah.
Their festival. This is our festival. This is something that everyone can be involved in.
Yeah, the festival I mentioned has showcased over 800 films from around the world. I imagine there must be a lot of interest in the festival from filmmakers. So, I'm wondering how you go about choosing which films to feature. It must be a difficult process.
I don't like that part. That I have to tell the filmmakers that, you know, their film is not selected to take place, but we just don't have enough screening venues to showcase all of them, and the amount of days, and it's very difficult to make the selection.
Yeah. Do you have an emphasis on? Wonderful. Sorry, do you have an emphasis on a particular kind of film, or what are your criteria?
New Visions, of course, first and second time filmmakers, independent films. Then we have Spirit of Freedom, narrative and documentary. This provides the filmmaker to explore social issues, which the Bahamas needs to address. You know, with our community, we have the Bahamians versus the Haitians. You know, in the United States, you may have, you know, the U.S. versus Mexico, or you know, Mexicans, and so we try to raise a level of consciousness through our film programming, in addition to having those films that entertain you, studio films. You know, the Weinstein Company is a very dear friend of the festival. We have Dan Guando on our advisory board, and then we have, you know, Lee Daniels, who's been to the festival and shown his films. It's just been really fantastic group of people who've nurtured the festival and put the festival on the map. You know, even the celebrities that we honor, Johnny Depp, Nicolas Cage, Lawrence Fishburne, as you mentioned, you know, these are things that actually make your festival become the 25 most, I guess, coolest festival in the world, which Movie Making Magazine honored us this year, which is quite fun. But there's a lot of trial and error sometimes when you are trying to make it unique and trying to make it special for people.
Yeah.
And people don't realize the amount of work that goes into it. And they may say, well, you know, this is so difficult to get to. This, but they don't realize that, you know, you didn't intend for it to be that way.
Right.
It just unfortunately happened. So,
we
really try and make the best out of what we have, the resources. The festival was funded $1.2 million the first year. That's in kind and cash. And then, you know, during the recession, we had sometimes $40,000 to work with.
Wow.
So it's having to really be creative. And then really rely on the partners and the people that, you know, have helped you throughout the years. And, you know, this is a lifestyle. Anyone interested in getting involved in film festivals, it just takes everything out of you, and you become, you know, I just happen to be on this call and be interviewed by you, which I thank you very much. But, you know, there's other colleagues of mine, board members and, you know, volunteers who are working just as hard. And sometimes I wish that they could have the time to really dedicate as much as I do to be the face of the festival. But sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. And when people get involved, they then realize how much work it takes.
Yeah.
So I never anticipated it to be this much work, but
right.
I knew that you know, anything new that I'm doing in the Bahamas, it will take 15 to 20 years, because our population just doesn't gravitate to new things.
Mm.
And when you say the film festival, they said, "Oh, when are you going to put me in your film?" I said, "Well, I'm not making films. I'm showcasing your films." You know, so. It's still trying to get that understanding out there, and introducing this global, the global world to the Bahamas and vice versa is something that is really my passion.
Yeah, you spoke about part of how you choose films is, you know, with a eye to consciousness raising, and you obviously have a very deep passion for the craft. I'm wondering, what do you feel film has to offer as a means of conveying meaning, of addressing sort of consciousness raising that other art forms perhaps don't have? What's unique about the power of film?
The power of film is immediate. It can touch you within 2 seconds to 2 hours. And people are very, they're very quick to want to know information and be entertained. So I think it's the most powerful medium that anybody can provide in order to, I guess, send messages or, the Bahamas is such a, we love going to the movies here, and we don't like to read, movies, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So, that's still a learning lesson.
Yes. Yeah.
But what it does, you know, when we showed Precious, our Q&A, I think probably went on for 30 minutes.
Wow.
Because that subject matter just touched a lot of people, and a lot of people used it as a, you know, a therapy session.
Mm.
So, or if you show a film about homosexuality, you know, it provides a discussion for people to say, you know, let's stop being, you know, homophobic, and then you get messages from the then former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton saying that, you know, you're doing a great job showcasing, you know, the subject matter to raise social consciousness. So, you know, it's really important, I think, for all ages to give focus to the screen and learn from the world as to what everyone's doing. I think in a positive way.
Yes.
Sending positive messages are really important.
Absolutely. Well, if you just joined us, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and my special guest from the arts, Leslie Vanderpool, who is the founder and executive director of the Bahamas International Film Festival. We're going to a break now, but we'll be back shortly after these messages.
imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Danielle and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and my special guest from the arts, Leslie Vanderpool, who is the founder and executive director of the Bahamas International Film Festival. And it's a wonderful event. If you're interested in finding out more information about it, you can search Bahamas International Film Festival, or the website is bintlfilmfest.com. It's on in December, so if you fancy heading on down there, check it out online. It's a very, very wonderful event, so I would think if you had the time to go.
I love your name of your program.
Oh, thank you.
it keeps me balanced. And then you need balance, especially when you you are faced with so much stresses in the world, in the film world. You had a commercial going about a yoga advertisement.
Mm.
I learned how to teach yoga in 2007. I had to. I went to an ashram to live in a tent for a month to keep my balance.
Oh, wonderful! Wonderful.
It was quite interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to pay attention to that, and I would think that your work-life balance must be quite hard to maintain. It's pretty all-consuming, I would think, all year-round endeavor, this festival.
Yes.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned about the film industry being stressful. It's also very heavily weighted towards men, and I imagine even that's even more the case on the, in the business side of a film. And so I was wondering what your experience as a female film entrepreneur has been, and whether you've seen any positive movement towards women being more included, embraced in film in the time you've been doing the festival.
Well, with everyone knowing that film is female characters being very underrepresented,
yeah,
and movies, it's very underrepresented in film festivals and
yeah,
as well. And not that I'm here to speak on film festivals. I feel that the most important part is what I do is being a showcase, so that film can transport audiences and stories can be told. But sometimes I don't really like discussing that issue. female versus male, because it just provides separation. And I just believe that we're all doing the same. We're all doing, you know, really great work. And I just happen to be a female doing it. But I do see how conversations or different decisions are made because of the individual. And it could be,
diplomatic words, but, yeah.
It could be their ignorance, or it could be just me reading too much into it. But
and sometimes I think it's just thoughtlessness in terms of not thinking at all, because I think when there is a pre-existing paradigm, particularly the people who are favored by that paradigm don't tend to consider it at all. And that's not necessarily a negative thing on their part. It just, they're just part of it, and so they accept it. So I think sometimes it's not, it's just not thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And not empathizing, and not you know, they're not they can't position themselves in our world, you know. So it's a conversation that I really am not I don't like to really talk about so much, just because it's such a big issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand.
We have to make sure that all voices are celebrated, and all perspectives are being offered within the cinema world, even, you know, behind the camera, in front of the camera, and you know, that there's a platform for everyone.
Yes.
And women must be included.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that the first thing that people would say in the U.S., gosh, you're a woman, but here in the Bahamas, you know, the woman is a very strong force.
You
have a lot of women running companies, and, you know, the decision makers, and the women basically rule the country at times.
Great.
But then you have a lot of the male chauvinistic old mind. They would much rather, like with my board, they'd much rather speak to a male than me. You know.
Yes.
So it's a comfort level. It's a comfort level based on your background and your education.
Yes.
I think so. It's going to take generations for us to. We can't fix it right now. I think it's going to take a generation to really see a real change in it. But I'm just happy to be. Providing quality, and hopefully people will know that, you know, because she did it, it'll be easier for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that's inspiring when you see someone who you can relate to for whatever reason, when you can relate to them and they're doing something that you want to do. It does inspire you to feel, well, I could do it. I could do it if she did it, you know, and she has
absolutely
these certain characteristics or whatever, whether it's gender or,
and if I could, and if I can help them, help anybody in any way, that's what I'm here for. It's very all-inclusive for me.
Yes. I did want to ask you, we have a bit more time in the interview, but so I wanted to make sure I covered, though, that you've been very innovative in taking filmmaking into schools where you've taught all aspects of filmmaking. What inspired you to want to do that, you know, to actually be teaching children about filmmaking? What are the benefits for them, do you think?
I think when I was growing up in the Bahamas, I had the opportunity to go to a private school here, and they had a lot of activities. And I as I mentioned early on in the show, I was one of the reasons for me becoming an actress and being involved in the film world was because I was presented with an opportunity to perform. And when I was when I started the film festival, I was thinking of creating an institute as well, film institute. And I went around to all of the schools in the Bahamas,
right,
or in Nassau, and I saw the lack of activities and you know, for instance, performing arts. And it was a definite need.
Yes.
For people who would not have the opportunity to be exposed to another curriculum.
Yeah.
Or
I mean, and I think also, even if, you know, you don't necessarily want to go into the arts professionally, I think, you know, there's all these different aspects of like team building and communication.
Yeah.
and that sense of just being free, being able to kind of get out of yourself and express yourself in a way that you perhaps wouldn't have the opportunity to otherwise.
Exactly. Absolutely. I can't stress the team more. It's a very competitive community here. And when they see that they can actually come together and create a product and like a film,
then
it's, they get inspired. We've had a few students who have gone on to make film. We've taught about 800 students over the past 11 years to do a youth film workshop. To make a film in a day.
Yeah.
And students have gone on to study it in college and become filmmakers. So
yeah.
I think we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But that really, I still have a dream to want to or be involved with somebody doing it, creating an institution here. You can imagine people coming from all walks of life and all parts of the world and bored and just utilize the beauty that we have here and... just write.
Be very inspiring.
Yeah, very inspiring.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah. So what are your visions for the festival going forward? I mean, obviously you've achieved a wonderful amount. It's a great festival. But what's your sort of vision going forward for the festival and for yourself?
So much. So many things. My vision for the festival would be to take it around the Bahamas. To different islands, to have audiences really understanding that you are immersed in film for a week and how approachable it is, and people coming from abroad to be involved in the festival-going atmosphere. And then Sydney Poitier, who is so kind to allow us to name these Career Achievement Tribute after him. When we have an A-lister receiving the Career Achievement Tribute, it's called the Sydney Poitier Tribute Award. And we would like to... The institute I was referring to is to have an institute or a theater in his name, and then have it as a theater house, you know, have it as a festival home, have it as, you know, a place similar to what Toronto has just created, a constant immersion of film all year round. And, you know, because of the films that were made here, you can imagine, you know, the tourists, the 5 million tourists that come off their cruise ships, they're walking downtown. They can just go into a film museum and look at all of the films that were shot here and to continue to put the Bahamas on the map as a filmmaking place.
And maybe as a filmmaking place rather than just a location, which, I mean, it's obviously important too, but it's so much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. And to continue to train the local talent here, to provide them with opportunities, and just make a Bahamawood, you know? I'm so passionate about film, and I forget that not a lot of people like film, but just to make a celebratory a celebration, and for us to, you know, remember all of the I guess, greats that came before us and create new ones in the Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got about a minute left, so I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but could you just share some highlights about the upcoming festival in about
yes,
a minute?
We have 134 films that we're showing in 12 days, and
wow.
We have amazing events like the screenwriters component that happens in Harbor Island, where we are going to be nurturing 12 screenwriters who end up making their film, being mentored by Vince Gerardis, who's one of the co-creators of Games of Thrones, Dan Guando, Sean Cavell, Taylor Benson, Matthew Halderman, Cameron Kubson. And you know, we have an app now. So anybody interested, you should go to your iTunes or your Google Play and download the app and keep in touch with the festival that way.
Is it, and you just look for Bahamas International Film Festival?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And gosh, it's wonderful films that we have already getting a lot of attention. For instance, India's Daughter, Leslie Udwin, who's getting a lot, Meryl Streep and Sean Penn have just acknowledged her film, documentary. Mm. And wonderful, like the Vanessa Hope's films, just a wonderful program of films that we're going to be showcasing in the Bahamas. So
excellent.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well,
thank you so much. It's been a treat talking to you.
Well, it's been lovely.
And I hope you can come down to the Bahamas soon.
Oh, well, I would love to. It's very tempting.
Okay,
yeah, if not
good.
This year, then maybe next year. But
absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a really wonderful event to come to. And I congratulate you on bringing it into being and keeping it going all this
thank
time
you.
And it going from strength to strength. It's
oh, you're sweet.
Wonderful creative endeavor and thank you very much for coming on the show.
It was my pleasure, and thank you so much for seeing the Bahamas International Film Festival, having the attention of that, and I really, really thank you.
Oh,
thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So just to let listeners know again, if you want more information, you can go to bintlfilmfest.com. And as Leslie mentioned, apparently there is also an app, which sounds great, that you can download to follow the Bahamas International Film Festival. And also remember that you can hear podcasts at my website. It's a